This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, hello, everyone. Thanks for listening this morning. Hello, Julie. How are you doing today?
Hi, Laurie. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's a sunny morning. We're taping on this beautiful, heart-filled day of Valentine's. And
indeed.
So you'll hear it, you're listening to us the day after. So we hope your day was filled with love in whichever way, shape, or form you find that. That's a good thing. And it's a day ahead, but I'll be celebrating with a few friends the night on Valentine's. I keep saying St. Patrick's Day, Joel. I'm rushing it a little. I guess I want warmer weather. But for dinner, and it'll be fun. There's 9 of us going out to dinner, so we'll have a good time, and we'll talk about that next week. But so I'm looking forward to trying to catch a little bit in between my day of the parade of champions, so to speak, in Philadelphia, the Proud Eagles and everyone else hit the streets of Philly for a parade honoring their phenomenal Super Bowl win. So I was thrilled. If you're not an Eagles fan, too bad. But it's I'm so happy. I am thrilled. I just love them and always have. As I told you, I'm a Pennsylvania, New York, and California favorite gal for all teams. But my son Sean is a major Philadelphia Eagle fan, and he and Katie went to Philly for the weekend, and they went to this bar type restaurant that they were selling tickets to get in, so you had to have a ticket, which is smart. And he was there, and his voice was lost for a few days because he's a screamer like his mother about the game, because I sit here and clap loud and yell and hoot and howl, and nobody's here but 2 other people. But, you know, Meyer was saying to Tommy, do you hear your mother? Like, it's just, you know, it's just getting emotion out, and it's good, and I've always been like that, and I will continue to be, from rooting for West Scranton all my life to anyone else I love at the time. So it's good, but it was a phenomenal game. They played so well. And, you know, Julie, I love Philly because Tommy, my oldest son, was born in Philadelphia, because after I got married in 1986, I moved to Philadelphia, and we were there for several years, and we just had I just loved it. I went kicking and screaming, scared to death, and ended up having to be pulled out of there kicking and screaming because I absolutely loved it. I had great jobs, and I met a lot of people, and Philly to me is just like a bigger Scranton, so that's why I love it. I love everything about it. It's easy to get around. It's not as, like, I think I said this before, but I took a cab once years ago, and the cab driver was a real cool dude. He had his own business, and he gave me his card, and he said, "You're going to love Philly." It was right after I moved there. "So you're going to love Philly. It's got everything New York has and less." And I looked at him, I said, "Less crime, less people, less craziness, less," I said, "less traffic." I said, "There," he goes, "all the other good stuff is there." And he was right. And that's sort of within. And I sold real estate in Philadelphia, got my license and cut my teeth in Center City, Philadelphia real estate market, which was brutal. And it was a great time. I met so many friends who are still my friends to this day. And just opportunity after opportunity, learning experiences after learning experiences, having my, you know, having a child and going through all of that, you know, schooling and picking the right doctor and the right school. Because Tommy was 2.5 when we moved back to Scranton. So he went to a preschool at the age of 18 months, and he was able to go for 3 days a week for 3 hours each morning, and it was great at 18 months. And it was a school; it was not a daycare. It was a preschool. It was wonderful.
Okay.
And it was called Old Pine, and it was on Pine Street in Philadelphia, in Society Hill, and it was so wonderful. The school was great, and it was just the best thing. Tommy learned so much, and was, you know, he was really, I loved it. We loved the whole program, and it was just, it's a hustly bustly kind of time when you're raising small children and living in a big city. But the opportunities to get them to the schools and the things they can do was just wonderful. So I loved it. We lived in Queen Village, which is right between Society Hill and South Philadelphia. We were off of Christian Street, and we lived on Howard between Queen and Christian, and we were like a few blocks down from the Italian Market, which was great. And we had great neighbors and people who lived in that area for years, and I can't tell you how much fun it was. I loved every minute of it. I loved the burbs. So selling real estate and all of the surrounding burbs was great. So I got to know the areas, and I just knew my way around and loved it. And I always tell people I would move to Philly back to that area in a minute. I love everything. Not as big
really?
A fan of
Chester. I was just going to ask you that.
Oh, I would do it in a minute. I'm not as big a fan of Chester County. It's a little more too rural for me. It's pretty. But the other ones, like Montgomery and Bucks, and Philadelphia County is Philadelphia proper, and then it extends outward. So I just love it.
I'm surprised to hear you say that you would move back there.
I really would. Mm-hmm. I love it. And one of my dear friends, Deb Dudley, her son lives right outside of Philly, and she goes down to see her grandchildren a lot, and she loves it too. She said, "I would move there in a minute." It's so, they have every store imaginable. They have every, you know, anything you need and want in the way of food or anything. There's just something everywhere. The stores are great. I just can't tell you. I just love it. That's why I'm a big Philly fan. Just the town in general. I loved every minute of being there. And trust me, I remember the day we were leaving to go back to move to Philadelphia after our wedding. It was that Sunday we left because we went on our honeymoon on Monday. And so we were going back to Tom's apartment that he had until we were moving into our new one when we got back. And I was petrified. I remember sitting in the front seat of Tom's car. I didn't talk. I just was so afraid that here I am leaving, you know, my town and my mother, my grandmother, my father. It was like, oh, I can feel the emotion now because it was so, oh my God, I have to go to this big city. I don't know anybody. And, you know, it was, and I knew everybody here and what I did. And just, you know, and the only other time I left my parents was when I went to nursing school for 7 months. And of course, we all know that story. So it was scary, Julie. I was 25 years old and scared to death. And I remember the first time I, you know, just walking out of there, and I'm thinking, this was before I got married, and I looked up and I walked out of the apartment, and I looked up and I thought, well, here goes nothing. And I just started to walk. And that's what you do.
That's what you do. I mean, and when you're 25, that's a good time to do it usually. Because you're just starting out in your professional career, and then you're starting your life with your new husband. I mean, that timing makes sense. So, I think it's great that you did it. And I think that's the only time I've ever heard you talk about you were quiet and didn't say anything like that. I've never seen you in that state. I don't want to see you in that state ever again.
No, nobody wants to see me not talking. No. Believe me. You just, it was scary beyond, I can't even tell you the fear that I had. But you do it, and you do it anyway. You just, you know, you just move beyond it. So, and I did, and we went away and came back and moved into our apartment, and I went with my resume in hand, and you know, nothing was electronic. Everything had to be mailed in and sent in and go over and fill out an application for this and that. And, you know, it just, things just happened, boom, boom, boom. And I got a job within the month that I started there because I had nothing and I didn't plan on it. We said, I'm not doing anything until I get there and settled in and my furniture comes and, you know, and then I'll get a job and do what I have to do. So I waited till everything was sort of settled because we lived at 15th and Locust right in the city. And then I got my very first job at Continental Bank, which was at 15th and JFK. So it was in, all I had to do was literally walk up 15th Street and go to my job. And then when I was there, I got another job at Butcher and Singer. And that was literally a block. There was a little block in between, Sansom Street in between, but a block away from my house, 15th and Walnut.
That's great.
And it was great. And then, you know, we bought a house in Queen Village, and then I got my real estate license and started to do that. And then I went back to banking because I got offered a job, and then I got another, which was in Conshohocken. So then I commuted the opposite way every day. And then came, and I was only there for 3 months, and I got another opportunity for a job in Center City at 5th and Chestnut, and that's what I did until I left. And so, you know, lots of stuff, lots of learning, lots of meeting people, lots of opportunity, and you're a young kid from Scranton not knowing anyone, and then it turned out that I knew so many people because everyone has a connection to Scranton. Everyone.
Yes. That's true.
So, all roads lead to Scranton, and I say that with 100% certainty. It is amazing. So it was just a great time, and then, you know, I had my son, and I remember Tommy was only a couple weeks old, and I was still selling real estate when he was born, and I had him in one of those, like, slingy things in the front. I would take customers out to, like, you know, every place imaginable, and have this little kid with me, and we went to see houses, and everybody was wonderful. I mean, I knew when I could bring them and when I couldn't, but it was so good. And so, it was a good time. It was a lot of fun. I loved every minute of it. And so knowing that, you know, everyone's going today and, you know, just going up Broad Street as I traveled so often, I love it. And so I'm going to check in and see, but I was delighted they won. And it is that old line, city of brotherly love. And, you know, people always say, I don't like the fans and Philly fans. Well, too bad again, because they're rabid, they're loyal, and people have a problem with loyalty. So too bad, but they're rowdy and crazy, and you know, but it's all right. As long as no one gets hurt, that's, you know, if you do, that's a little over the top, but you know, it's all about being loyal and having a following. It's okay. You got to stick to it. But so that's going to be fun. So anyway, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back after speaking all things Philadelphia. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel, who is our wonderful producer of this show. Julie is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications. And, Jewel, tell them what you can do.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
There you go. And with us is Leah Genacopoulos. She is a realtor with ERA One Source Realty. Leah has been doing this for a long time. We're going to talk a little bit about, first we have to say ERA has about 80-some agents in 10, how many counties, Leah?
We're over 10 counties throughout northeastern Pennsylvania. We have 5 offices, and we just keep growing by the week.
There you go. So, Leah, we decided, because Leah's in the middle of this even as we speak, and I kind of like to bring up this year a little bit more procedural work that gets done in the real estate world so people understand what it's like to be a realtor and to get this for the clients, to get everything done before they sign on the dotted line. And it's important to know what goes on or what can go on, what happens the morning, usually the morning of the closing. So, Leah, let's talk about a little bit about that. There's usually a walkthrough the morning before or right before the actual closing takes place, and that is to enable the buyer to go through the house after everything is cleaned out and everything is done as it was agreed upon. And that's when the rubber hits the road and you see, was everything finished? What goes on? What happens? And Leah, at any given time, there can be snags.
Just because you get that clear to close doesn't mean you're cleared to close. I mean, 95% of clients always do a walkthrough. There's that 5% chance of people that don't because they don't need to, or, you know, there was no repairs, it was an as-is purchase, or, you know, an investor.
Right.
There's obviously always different situations. But most of the time when you're buying a house, and especially if you ask for repairs, you go either, like you said, the day before or the morning of or an hour before, whatever you schedule prior to the closing. And I always recommend that we always do it when the seller is completely out of the house, it's vacant and everything, because, you know, you never know. Could someone accidentally ding a wall? Could the movers do something accidentally? You know,
right.
Obviously accidents happen, so you don't want to do it. And then, like, you know, oh, they're still trying to get stuff out of the house. And then unbeknownst to you, you go back and, you know, what do you see? But, you know, holes in the walls. And now it's like, well, who do I prove? And how do I prove, you know, whatever. So you always want to make sure. But also, especially if you're having repairs done. So for an example, I actually, when I do my repairs that I want done by a seller, I usually ask for them to be done by a licensed contractor, electrician, plumber, whatever, and all receipts to be supplied. Because, I mean, especially in the city of Scranton, you have to, even on inspections, repairs, you have to make sure that you have it done by a actual licensed contractor for what,
right.
You know, obviously for safety purposes or whatever. But I do always ask for receipts because I want to make sure it was done. I want to make sure, you know, we didn't just, like, put a little, like, piece of tape on it and say, okay, it's fixed, you know, haha, good luck to you next week. But so in this case, I've been asking since, you know, the beginning of the week prior to this closing, I kept saying, can I please have the receipts? My client has been pretty adamant about it. We've asked for it. And both buyer and seller signed off on reply to inspections that receipts were to be supplied at or prior to settlement. Well, you know, I'm still looking for receipts. But with that, you know, obviously you can now hold up a closing because that is required and asked in your reply to inspections. So that is to be, you know, awarded to you so that we are in, you know, so that we could say that the walkthrough is clear and that we are happy with how we're proceeding. So, I mean, it's pretty formal to do that, but, you know, sometimes you run into snags, and that's why I do like when, you know, most title companies around here are, most of them, not all of them, again, most, are ran by an attorney. So it is nice sometimes when you have that, like, second layer of support that can kind of be the in-between to settle something. So right now, you know, I just called and I wanted to let the attorney know this is where what we're doing. This is, you know, how this has to happen. So, which was nice. I got the attorney involved. They let the realtor know that this was to be done or the closing was going to be upheld. So that's kind of what you want to do. So with that, too, you know, you also, but minus the walkthrough, that's one step of the final part of the closing. But you also want to review either the day before or 3 days before your final closing docs with your buyer and
right,
your seller. Because
right.
You want to also let them know, you know, you can't show up to closing with a personal check. It has to be certified funds. And you also can't show up to closing with a bag of money, like some people think you could. So I think you know, you just really want to make sure that you're still giving your clients every ounce of attention right up until the walkthrough and the closing.
Oh, yeah.
You got to clear to close. Doesn't mean it's clear to close. So,
right. The other thing is, too, Leah, which I think is so important to mention here, is that a realtor, and we've spoken about this in the past, but we're repeating it. You do not get paid as a realtor until the closing is final, until all
correct.
Of everything. And even at that point, there can be a soft closing and you have to wait a little bit. So there, knowing that you, as the person who wants to be paid to do this job, you're going to make sure all of your T's are crossed and I's are dotted to make sure that everything goes as smoothly as it possibly can. A, you have a reputation at stake. At B, you want, you're taking care of that person. You want to make sure that they're done, everything is done to their benefit. And so all of this stuff gets into place, but no one gets paid. Nothing's transferred. Nothing's moved. You don't own this. I don't not own this. I don't not own this anymore until it's, you know, until it's over. So all of these things can happen, and these things, like you're saying about the docks, I remember personally, and Julie and I were just talking about when I lived in Philadelphia, and we bought our first house. We actually went to the closing, and the deal was blown at the closing.
It does happen.
We never went back, right? And we never went back to this person, and it never happened. And that's exactly the stuff that can go on. So if these things, nothing is guaranteed until it's over, and
it's
nobody
not
gets that.
Until it's closed.
Right. And like you said, the movers moving out, they're not that it's intentional, but that could happen, and someone doesn't say anything to you, and you walk in and you don't see this. It's the same thing, Leah, with I don't understand. I know people do it. I just would never, when people waive inspections, and I know sometimes the buyer is like, the seller's like, oh, yes, but like, then you don't know what you're faced with if you don't. So it's all of this stuff. Walking through and making sure, I just think it's so important that that's done, because those are the things that happen at the end. I remember I did a closing, and the closing happened, but and we went through the walkthrough, but in the walkthrough, we could not find the remote control for the the gas heater, in the fireplace of this old, beautiful house. And we said, well, and the person who was the buyer agent said, the seller agent said, well, I'll get it. We know where it is. We'll get it to you, blah, blah, blah. It never happened. Guess who ended up having to make sure they bought a new remote control for the property? You're listening to it. Right. So those are, and so I should have never said, oh, it's going to, well, I'll take your word. It didn't happen.
Right.
And I ended up paying for a new one. So, you know,
once you sign off on that walkthrough sheet, then either if you are right, okay, I accept, or, you know, sometimes then you put money in escrow, or you have 14 days to make the repair, or you have, like, whatever time frame, or you're right, like, 5 days. Like, we had one, like you were talking about, where the remote control for the fireplace was, they accidentally packed it. Well, we said, all right, well, you have 5 days to get it to us. Like, and if you don't,
right,
you have to send us $250. So, I mean,
and that should have been what I said.
Yeah.
Right. And I should have taken care of myself. Right. Because I didn't protect myself. And that's what I'm saying. As an agent, I ended up buying that. Okay. Well, here's your home. Here's your, in lieu of me giving you a home, new gift, you know, new home gift, this is your new gift. Because it came out of my pocket. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's why these things are so important. So, Leah, when all of this happens, all these sign-off things are now, see, and the things have changed since this happened, but, like, everything is, it protects the agent as well now, right? There's all of these sign-offs so that you, and like you said, okay, you pack this, you have 5 days, or you have to pay the money. I mean, those things are, you have to be on top of that. Or you could get screwed in the end and have to pay stuff. So, do you see it happening more often? Do you go through these things and they end up having to pay? Or what's going on nowadays with that?
No, the nice thing, it just is so weird. The last two closings, I feel like it's just been, I think sometimes mostly too, it happens a lot in this weather just because it's so cold. So, you know, sometimes that's what happens, but. Like, you know, a couple weeks ago I had a closing. I had the seller, but the furnace wouldn't start. And it was an older building that was also winterized, whatever. And, you know, we got the plumber there and everything, but we had to wait to get, like, the furnace up and running. I mean, and obviously the buyer didn't want to close until we made sure that the furnace was lit, but we had to make sure there was no leaks and this and then that. So, I mean, we were at a closing that ended up, we were sitting there for 3 hours because then we had to wait for the plumber to get there, for the buyer, you know. So, yeah, these things do happen. So, I mean, I also think, you know, and why, you know, I bring up this one about the receipts today, this was an easy one. Like, this didn't have to turn into this right now, you know. So, like, that's where it gets very frustrating is that we could have had, you know, we could have already had this taken care of and done and this, that, and the other thing, but here we are waiting for receipts.
Well, and Lisa, Lisa.
Leah.
You hear what I called you, Lisa? Leah, but here's what I have to tell you. Speaking of that furnace situation, it, no different than I just had to put in a new furnace this year. The day before, or 2 days before, 3 days before, the furnace was running fine. Okay? And then it stopped. So even if you get an inspection and it's all good, that doesn't mean that you, at the time it wasn't and now it broke. I mean, you know, those things happen. This is what goes on. This happens, but if it's happening, thank God, before you close, then you got to make sure you pull everybody in to get it fixed.
Well, that just happened.
You know how many people
you see. Yeah.
What?
That just happened to me when I was buying my new house. The refrigerator went a week before closing. They bought me a brand new refrigerator.
Yeah.
I mean, but you get lucky. But, yeah, I mean, Pennsylvania law is the house is to be broom swept in the way that you found it.
Absolutely.
So.
And there's so many things about fixtures, and people think they can take things that are hanging, and sometimes you don't think about it and it's gone, and they, you know, you have to agree to those things prior to, and not to say, oh, I forgot about that, I'm leaving it, because it was no different than what in my house that I live in now. We bought this house, the washer and dryer were excluded, and the buyer had to come back to the seller. They never took it. And so we used it because it was here. Possession is three quarters of the law. So we used it. And then after a major flood in Dunmore, which they're calling me saying you never paid us to keep that. Well, you never got it out. I mean, it was a big mess. And this was months after 4 months after we're in the house. So at the time, because he was a lawyer, paid these idiots the money. I would say, too bad. They never took it out. But anyway, it's just, it can get messy. It really can get messy. So you have to, these things at least attempt to make it a little more smooth. But like you said, this was easy and it still had a little, there's still some wrinkles. So we'll let you go so you can run to your closing and get it all finished, Leah. But if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can call me at 570-947-9250. You can call our office at 570-587-9999. Visit our website, ERA1.com, and we're on all forms of social media.
See, we're talking about this stuff even as it's happening, Leah, in between all the craziness. So go get them, kiddo.
All
we'll see you
guys.
Real soon, okay?
Talk to you
all
later.
Right, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, you're listening to Laurie Catton Show, and we'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Laurie Catton Show, and I am Laurie Catton, the owner of Laurie Catton Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is our producer extraordinaire, Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, what do you got for these people?
Thanks, Laurie. I just love that setup. I specialize in public relations and marketing in Northeastern PA and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
There you go. So, what, Julie, what do you have planned? Are you doing any, did you ever post your cookies, I meant to ask you?
Oh, no, I forgot. I'm going to be really honest about that. Totally forgot about it. But that does remind me. I want to mention to everybody out there, if you haven't started following the show on social media, why not? What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
We post all kinds of good things every week. For example, this week we just spoke with Leah from ERA One Source Realty, and if you want to get in touch with her or another agent at ERA, we will have all the links and the contact information on our Facebook page. So you can find the Laurie Cadden Show on Facebook and Instagram. And, yeah, I talked a lot about, I probably talked about those fake Oreo cookies probably too much last week, and I'm sorry. And I won't talk about them again until when I have to make them again next year. But I forgot to post the pictures. I don't have many pictures. I should have taken
more.
Yeah,
but the one you sent me is adorable. So just post it because it just looked so cute.
Does it have eyes on it? Googly eyes?
Yeah, it has the googly eyes, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, cause we made some into
monsters.
I thought
it was a turkey,
though. Yes.
Yeah, I think it was so cute just to see your creativity. They were good. So are you making anything? Did you and Mom decide if you're doing? Yeah.
Maybe. We took a stroll by the candy counter at Boscov's yesterday.
And
let me tell you.
It's like being in the Globe store.
Oh, gosh, it does kind of remind you of that candy counter there. I remember the Globe vividly. And, you know, my mom worked in the bakery before, as it was getting towards the end of the Globe store's time here, which is just so sad. But she worked in the bakery. She used to go to work in the middle of the night and make all these fabulous cookies and cakes and pies and breads and sandwiches and brownies and oh my, all of it. And she worked next door to, I remember her talking about the candy makers they had, and I don't remember everybody, but I remember her talking about a man named Kenny at the candy shop, and they were such nice people, and they did a fine job, and their candy was outstanding. And so, yeah, when you go to Boscov's and you get to pick out, you know, I want some of that. I want a quarter pound of this and a quarter pound of this and a couple chocolate pretzels. And, it's just fun to make your own customized box. So we did, get some candy yesterday. So I don't know. I was going to make my traditional Valentine's Day cookie is called a Hearts and Flower Cookies. And those are, they sound really strange because there's oatmeal in them, but they're a peppermint cookie. And then you pair them with chocolate icing. You make sandwiches. And, of course, they're heart-shaped, and they're pink, and they're very cute. The oatmeal seems weird, but they're delicious. And
I don't like peppermint. I'm not a fan of peppermint, but I love how it looks. Like, I love a candy cane, or I love peppermint candies. Love to look at them. I don't like the flavor of peppermint.
Don't like the flavor.
If I have
not
to.
Like it.
No, I don't like mint chocolate chip or any of that kind of jazz. No, I'm not
a fan. I mean, we have fans of that here. So usually I do hearts and flowers and, make little sandwiches. I don't know if I'm going to do it today because we do have a lot of nice chocolate for our little guys. So I don't want to overload them with too much sugar and sweetness and make them sick. So I don't know. That's an if I don't do them today, I will do shamrocks and flowers for St. Patrick's Day in a couple weeks, you know, so we'll just save them. But that is usually what I do. There's nothing better. And I remember Valentine's Day as a kid, like what fun it was to give out your little cards. Did you do that? Everybody in class?
Oh my God. And as a little girl, and I told you, my first grade teacher told my mother that I was boy crazy, which truly I was and continued to be. And because I hung around with my two best friends were twin boys. And they were in my class with me, and we lived next to each other, so they were my best friends. And she told my mother, "Your daughter is boy crazy." And true, I still live up to that claim to fame. But when I would try to pick out, you know, the because you always, as a girl, you always wanted to see what kind of little Valentine you would get, because I would always pick out the prettiest one or the nicest one for the boy that I thought was the cutest. And of course, no one was thinking like that. And I'm sure boys' mothers were like, don't even go near this with that. Because that I'm a boy mother, so I know. It's like, no. Mm-mm-mm. But like, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get them. I loved the exchange. I loved picking out which ones I wanted as a little girl. And my kids were all excited about the ones they wanted. And of course, as I got, you know, when I would look at them and think, oh, I want something that's really nicely done, and they would want the junkier ones because it was more, you know, whatever, Rugrats or whatever they wanted. And I wanted something a little more tasteful. But anyway, you would, I remember what I wanted and what I got. I remember what my kids wanted. And I would always let them pick it out because it was important when they went to school and were able to give
absolutely
those things. So yes, I remember it. A matter of fact, I have three Valentine's Day cards right next to me. One for each of my boys and Meyer for today, because I thought I was going to see Sean over the weekend, which I would have given him his card and a little treat, but we're not going now because the weather could be a little crazy, and so we're going to go to the Hudson Valley, and we're not going to do that now. So I'm just going to Venmo him a couple bucks, and they'll be happy. But I don't know. Yeah. So.
But I did like Valentine's Day as a kid. It was a lot of fun. And you know, when it's funny, when you said you would pick out the prettiest one to give to your, you know, favorite boy, I did something similar. And I thought I was the only one who thought like this. So see what we're learning about ourselves here? I would get that box of Valentine's, and my mom would let us pick whatever kind we wanted at the store. And, you know, you'd get like a pack of what was in there, 30 or 50 or whatever. And it was like a variety pack. And so I was very careful about what kind I would get. And I do remember Holly Hobby one year. I remember Strawberry Shortcake. I wanted very pretty looking ones, but those were the things that, you know, spoke to me at that point. Probably Peanuts at one point, too, because I really like Snoopy.
Oh, yeah.
And I would go through that box and pick out the ones that I thought were the best ones, and those would be reserved for my best little friends, my little girlfriends. I didn't really care too much about you know, I didn't have boyfriends, really. I hung with the girls. And I'd pick out the best ones, and I'd put them off to the side. And I remember my mother asking me, like, well, why are these off to the side? Because I segregated them I organized them on a table. I had a whole process. And she probably thought I was nuts. But I was separating them out. I wanted my friends to get the ones that were the most beautiful with the nicest message.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids that I didn't really know kind of got the generic ones.
And then in
high school, it was fun, too, because for fundraisers, all the different clubs would sell flowers and lollipops, and so you could send your friends. It wasn't necessarily a romantic thing. It was, you know, you could send your friend a carnation or a lollipop package or whatever. And, you know, so we did it for French Club and Yearbook Club. I remember that was one of our fundraisers for the year. And so all day long, you know, you would get these deliveries. And you'd go home with a bunch of flowers and lollipops and chocolates, and it was great. So, and I think everybody pretty much got something. I hope so. But that was just fun.
Yeah.
And then as an adult, Valentine's Day does leave something to be desired. I don't think my adult Valentine's Days have compared to when I was a kid. So.
Well, I think it's all what you make of it. Because mom would make a big deal of every little holiday. But Valentine's Day, we would wake up and there'd be a Valentine's Day card and a little gift for each of us at our breakfast table. And we would always have something special, whether it was a charm or a ring or a little piece of jewelry or a little heart or something. And my brother's got some, you know, boy thing. And it was always a big deal. My father would always make a big deal for my mother and my grandmother. We would always make sure that it was a big deal, big deal. And then my sister, being in the florist world, she's a florist, so flowers were always a big thing. And so that happens. I don't like traditional roses.
Right. What I'm getting at is the romantic Valentine's days have not been
The romantic things.
That's
what I'm saying. Who cares?
Yeah. I don't want to make it sound like, of course, you know my family, like we celebrate everything. And my brother always gives us flowers, which is super sweet. My mom and I always get roses from him. And my mom always would make some special treat or give us chocolates. And so family-wise, yes, always covered. But I mean, I think as I got older and I thought that Valentine's Day would be something wonderful, like when you have a boyfriend or a husband, or, you know, those fell flat, I have to say.
But yeah, well,
yes, on
I think
side, it's listen, to make it, you know, it's
yeah.
all good.
And here's the other thing. You don't have to have a love interest to have a fun Valentine's Day. It could be your Galentine's. It can be your
That's
family.
True.
It could be whatever it is. Just be, you know, make it the best you can, filled with as much love of anything. Whatever it is you love, just fill that with your that day. Think about it, you know.
Should I give Moo a Valentine? Because, I probably should have bought
yes.
a toy for today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see,
I love
my doggies didn't get that. But they got groomed this week, and they're adorable as the day is long. So they're
I need
cute.
To see them.
I need yeah, they look like them. They. I call them fluffer nutters because they're all fluffed up and they're adorable. So
let's get a picture of them on social media.
Yeah,
because
I have to get a
yeah.
new one. I have to get a new one. Yeah, they're so cute.
There's one today.
So what?
Yeah, take a picture today.
What did you say, Joel? Yeah, I will. I'll take one on Valentine's Day and show you. So yeah, it'll be
yeah.
good. But so just you know, love up. Anyone you can and all you can and treat yourself with love. That's what we'll say for this Valentine's Day that you will hearing us the day after. But it's all, for me, it's all weekend and it's a long weekend. So that's even better. Celebrate the love all weekend for yourself or others. That's how it works. So, all right. Well, we are going to take our leave of you today right now for the week, and we will see you next week. And we, as always, thank you so much for listening and being part of our show by your participation, by just turning us on. So thank you for that. And like Julie said, look for us on Instagram and Facebook and like us. Why not? What does it hurt? Like us. Even if you don't, you can just say you do. Right, Jewel?
Right. I love it.
There you go. It works. Anyway. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe and please be nice. Bye.